Well, good morning and welcome to our adult Bible class here this morning in Ballymena. We bid you welcome in the Saviour's precious name, and especially to those people who may be watching on by means of the webcast in whatever part of the world that you're in today, be it Sunday morning or Sunday evening, or maybe even early Monday morning. We bid you especially welcome in the Saviour's name, and we trust that as we look at the Word of God this morning, that the Lord Himself will draw graciously near to each and to every heart and bless His Word for His name's sake. Let's just seek the Lord's face, first of all, in a word of prayer before we come to read and to consider the Word of God this morning. Our gracious and eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege. We thank Thee for the opportunity that is ours this morning of coming into Thy presence in and through the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, indeed for the return of the Lord's Day. We thank Thee, Father, indeed for this first day of the week. We thank Thee, Father, indeed for this day in which we remember the resurrection of our Saviour from the grave. And our Father and our God, this morning we thank Thee that we're found to live and to praise and to magnify Thy name. And we thank Thee, Lord, for each one that is gathered here this morning to listen to Thy words. We thank Thee, Father, indeed for the experience that each of us have of the new birth. We thank Thee, Father, for that time in our experience when Thou didst call us by that effectual and that irresistible call by Thy Spirit through the preaching of Thy Word. And we thank Thee, Lord, indeed, that we came as sinners to the cross, and that as a result that we have passed from darkness into light, and Lord, that our names are written, Lord, eternally in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank Thee for our Saviour's blood this morning. We thank Thee, Father, indeed, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we pray that as we continue around Thy Word this morning, that Thou will be pleased to meet with us. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to each and every heart through Thine own infallible Word. And Father, we ask of Thee that at the end of this time of gathering, that we'll leave this room knowing that it was good for us to be here, for it was here that we met with Thyself. Continue with us now as we wait further in Thy presence, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 46, I would like us to read together, please, this morning. Psalm 46, we'll be commissioned to read at the first verse of the Psalm. Psalm 46, I've entitled my message this morning, God, the Consoler of His People. But I want in the meantime to read Psalm 46 with you. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of His own infallible word to each and to every heart. This psalm is a psalm of consolation. It is believed that the psalm was written at a time of great peril and difficulty in the history of the nation of Israel. When we come to study the psalms as a whole, it is good practice to not only study the psalm itself, but to actually study the title that's put at the commencement of the psalm. For the title holds within it much information and important information regarding the psalm and regarding the background of its penning. And there you will see here that this 46th psalm, the title of the psalm is "To the Chief Musician for the Sons of Korah, a Song upon Alamoth." This title is used on 11 occasions throughout the book of Psalms. And as you will see here by the title, "To the Chief Musician for the Sons of Korah, a Song upon Alamoth." And as I have said, it is used 11 times throughout the book of Psalms itself. This psalm, of course, like the other 10, was committed to the sons of Korah. It was committed into the charge of the sons of Korah. And we could do well this morning to ask ourselves, well, who was Korah? Well, Korah was of the tribe of Levi. And we read about him there in Numbers chapter 16 and in the verse 1 concerning Korah. You will find that he was of the tribe of Levi. And from that same chapter, chapter 16, we also learn in verses 27 through to verse 33 that this same Korah, that because of his presumption and rebellion against Moses and Aaron, and because of his rebellion especially against the Lord, we read that this same Korah, that along with others, that he perished before the Lord. And how that he perished was that the very earth, according to Numbers 16:27 through 33, the very ground that he stood upon because of his rebellion, the very ground that he stood upon, that it opened up. We read that the earth opened up beneath them, and it swallowed them up, and Korah and his friends went alive down into the pit. But of course, not all of Korah's family perished in that particular fashion, because we read in Numbers 26 and verse 11 that notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. And because the children of Korah didn't die, they obviously lived on, and they obviously became the ancestors of this Korah. And these children or offspring of Korah, they became eminent and rose to great heights in the Levitical system and in the Levitical service of the tabernacle and of the temple. These sons of Korah, they became singers, and they became servants in that they served the Lord in this particular manner. And therefore, because they were singers and because they served the Lord in such a manner, 11 of the Psalms are committed to their charge. And the sons of Korah were responsible for the 11 Psalms to which their names are ascribed. And of course, this Psalm 46 is one of the Psalms that was ascribed to the sons of Korah. But then if you look again here at our title, it says, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth." And this word, Alamoth, appears only twice in the Scriptures, in Psalm 46 here in the title, and it appears again in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 20. And the word itself has a reference, and is a reference, to the female voice. And it is thought that this particular Psalm 46 would have been sung by a female choir of virgins who would find comfort in this psalm in times of trial and in times of trouble. Because this psalm was penned in a time of trial, it was penned in a time of trouble. Now, we're not sure just exactly what the trial was or what exactly the trouble was whenever this psalm was penned, but it has been suggested by many of the commentators and Bible scholars that it was very possible that this psalm was penned at the time that Sennacherib came against Jerusalem in the days of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. There you can read all about that in the book of Isaiah chapter 36 and verse 31. And it's believed that this is the time of trial that is referred to here in this psalm. There was other times of trial, of course, throughout the nation of Israel. The nation as a whole was not without her problems. The nation as a whole was not without her difficulties. But chiefly, commentators think that the coming against Jerusalem of Sennacherib is the event that is here spoken about, and that was the time when this psalm was actually penned. And so the psalm is a psalm of comfort. I said that it was a psalm of comfort, a psalm of consolation. And you know this psalm, and you'll already know this. This psalm, of course, is often referred to as Luther's psalm, because in many an occasion, whenever the Reformer was going through a dark period, and historians record for us how that particular Reformer, that he suffered from dark periods of depression, and he suffered from dark periods of gloom, that oftentimes whenever the great Reformer was going through one of these periods, that he would have come along to his friend, Philip Melanchthon, and they would have said to Melanchthon, "Come, let us sing the 46th psalm, and let the devil do his worst." And we want to follow Luther's example not just at the moment singing the 46th psalm, but it can be sung in the congregation, and it can also be sung in our own closets and in our own quiet times. I want to come now to our text, which is the verse 1 of the psalm. For in this verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And from this text, I want to notice how that Jehovah is a comfort, and how that Jehovah is a consolation to His own redeemed people. How does God console His own redeemed people? Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Just very simply, I would suggest to you, the text says, God is our refuge. And you know the very first word of that first verse there is reminding us that God is in existence. The text commences with the word God. And in the original Hebrew, this is the very same word as is used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God, or Elohim. And as we look at the first verse, as we look at our text, the very first word is reminding us that God, the God who is our refuge, is the one who created all things, is the one who spoke the world into existence and created all things in the space of 6 days, and all very good. We're all familiar with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 where we read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And I always like to point out, the Bible begins with not seeking to prove the existence of God, But the Bible rather begins by stating the fact that God already exists. As far as the Scripture is concerned, there is no argument and there is no debate. There are many today throughout the world, and they will debate and they will argue whether God exists or whether He doesn't exist. Let me just say on the authority of God's Word this morning, it doesn't matter whether you believe whether God exists or whether He doesn't. The Bible, God's Word says in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God exists. He already existed in the beginning. And there the argument closes. The Scripture says it. God has declared it. It doesn't matter what you believe after that. The issue is signed and it is sealed. Elohim is, of course, one of the names of God found in the Old Testament Scriptures. And it means the Mighty One, or means the Strong One. The name Elohim reveals to us something of the power of God and reminds us of His greatness. The power of God and the greatness of God, of course, is to be seen in the fact that God is a shelter, that God is a refuge for His own people in all situations in life. We, of course, ourselves are weak. And you don't need me to come here this morning and stand at this desk and to remind you that in ourselves we are weak. In ourselves we are no match for the devil, nor for his power. But we have got a refuge in one this morning who is all powerful. We have got a refuge in one this morning who is all powerful, and who is strong, and who is well able to meet us at the very point of our need, no matter what that need may be. If you want to look at Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27 for a few moments there, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, and especially part A of that verse, and there we read these words, words that are an encouragement to all of God's people and all of the situations that they would find themselves in. They read these words, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And if we stop for a second to ponder what Moses has written here in Deuteronomy, the eternal God is thy refuge. If we stop to consider that this morning, we can barely fathom that. The eternal God of heaven is my refuge. Not only my refuge from my sin, but my refuge from every storm that life will throw at me. And here we read in Deuteronomy 27a, "The eternal God is thy refuge." And then it goes on to say, "And underneath are the everlasting arms." There's tremendous words in this text. Not only is the eternal God our refuge, but underneath us, supporting us and holding us up, are the everlasting arms. Now someone could come along and give us and embrace us, but their embrace while it might be a tight embrace, if I may use that expression, yet their embrace is not everlasting. Their embrace has a certain amount of weakness attached to it. But here we read in Deuteronomy that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath us are the everlasting arms. And you know what that teaches me? That teaches me that the everlasting arms, if the everlasting arms are underneath me, and if the everlasting arms are round about me, then those everlasting arms will never let me go. Because if those everlasting arms were to let me go, then they're not everlasting. If God ever allowed any of His redeemed people to perish, then I say on the authority of God's Word, He cannot be God. and he has broken his covenant. The more we consider our text here in Psalm 46, in verse 1, if we can go back to it, I believe that we will see here that we're reminded of the immutability of God in this text. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I believe that we're reminded here also of the immutability of God. What do I mean by God's immutability? I mean that God is unchangeable. That God that He cannot change, that He is immutable. And if you want a scripture proof, Malachi 3 and verse 6, hear what Jehovah says about Himself. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. We live in a changing world. We ourselves change. We change hourly. We change daily. We change weekly. But here is one who doesn't change. And I believe in this text here that there is a reference in some measure to the immutability or the fact that God Himself is unchangeable. We need a shelter from the storms of life. And we need a shelter in which a shelter is something or some place where we will seek refuge and where we will seek to hide from the storm. This text here says that God is our refuge. If we consider again that word refuge and think about it for a few moments, the word refuge also carries with it the idea of the cities of refuge that are mentioned there in the book of Numbers. There you will find that in Numbers there is mention made of the cities of refuge. And of course the cities of refuge were placed there by the Lord so that the manslayer or those who would have committed a crime, that they could flee to that city. And once inside that city, then they could not be touched. Once those who had committed a crime and the taking of blood, once they had made within the city boundary, then those who were after their blood could no longer touch them. They were safe. They were sheltered. They were in a place of refuge, a place of hope, a place of trust, and such a place is Jehovah to His people. But as we're gathered here this morning, and as our faces differ, we've all got different needs. We've all got different problems. Our problems are of various sorts. They're of various sizes. And they cause us all various... They concern us in different ways. Well, here's a shelter from which we can hide from the storms of life. God to the believer is a refuge from all of life's storms. The hymn writer said, when the storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the hollow of His hand. He will hide me. He will hide me where no harm can e'er betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of His hand. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, we read these words, let your conversation of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord has promised never to leave His people. God is a refuge for His people. God is a living refuge for His people. If you look at verse 7 of this 46th Psalm, you will find there, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And that phrase is repeated again in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And here in these two verses, we are reminded, I believe, that God is a living refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge today. Jehovah was our refuge for Jacob way back all those centuries ago in the Old Testament. And that same God, the unchangeable God that we've already mentioned, He is our refuge today in Bilhamina, even at this very hour. Augustus Toplady penned that great hymn that we often sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin, the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. God is our refuge. A refuge God is for His people. And because He's a refuge for His people, He thereby consoles, or His own people can take consolation from that fact and from that truth. But if you look again at this text, you will see, secondly, not only is God our refuge, but God is our strength. And here in this text, we are introduced to one who is strong. And the word the Hebrew word that is translated strength in this text here is also translated in Psalm 63 verse 2 as power. It's translated Proverbs 18 verse 10 as might. Sorry, power, Psalm 63 verse 2, strong, Proverbs 18 verse 10, and might, 2 Samuel 6 verse 14. The word strength, of course, suggests to us that God is the source of might. He is the source of our strength to those who are weak and defenseless. Because God is our strength, the whole idea behind God being our strength in this text, that it is as if His strength was my strength. We may feel as safe in His strength as though we had that strength in ourselves. We may make it the basis of our confidence this morning as we look at God's Word. We can make it the basis of our confidence that as surely as God is Jehovah, so likewise He imparts to His people His strength and His power and His aid. We have got enemies to grapple with this morning, haven't we? We have got the world, and we've got the flesh, and we've got the devil. And how are we going to do it? We can't do it in our own strength, but we can do it in the strength of the Lord. If you turn back, please, for a second to Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, this time, these are the words that were said to Asher, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. Again, another verse that is a great encouragement to God's people. Deuteronomy 33, 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. What exactly does the Holy Spirit mean here when it says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be? Well, you know, have you ever been in a situation when you wonder how am I going to face that problem? How am I going to face this trial? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And here is the answer in this verse here. As thy days, especially those words, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Consider this also. Have you ever thought how that the reformers in their day, how that some of them went out to the stake, and they were as bold could be? Or have you ever thought about how that the Covenanter standing at his front door, and one man by the name of John Brown, I believe it was, in Scotland, and as he stood at his cottage door, and the king's troops arrived, and his young wife and their young child, she held it in her arms, and that man went out and he stood and he confronted the troops of the king of that day. Have you ever wondered how those people that they faced the martyr's flame? Or have you ever wondered how that they faced the musket shot that would take away their life? Here's the answer. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And you know, sometimes we tend to wonder, no, I do, we tend to wonder what it is like to die. Now, I'm not being morbid when I say that. I think it's being realistic. What it is like to die. Or how will I face up to it when I come to die? And here is the answer. As thy days are, dying grace is not given until that moment comes. And likewise, those people, the reformer going out to the flame, grace to withstand that trial was not given until that moment came. Likewise, that Covenanter in the Highlands who stood before the king's troops, who would take away his life with a musket shot, grace was not given until that particular moment came. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. God is our refuge, and God is our strength in all situations of life. In Psalm 18 and verse 2 we read, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And just as I read that verse to you, if you look it up at some stage, Psalm 18 verse 2, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength." About 7 or 8 times in that particular verse, the psalmist is saying, "The Lord is my." He says, "My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Jehovah is not only our refuge this morning, but he is also our strength. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 13, we read, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And those words there, "which strengtheneth me," they have the meaning that Jehovah is actually infusing or pouring in strength into his servant for whatever occasion might come his way. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." God is our refuge. God is our strength. Finally, I wanted to notice in our text here that God is our help, a very present help in trouble. God, of course, aids his people in their times of trial and trouble. And he helps his people to bear up and to go through whatever fire or whatever flame that providence may bring their way. I think a great psalm, Psalm 121, if you want to look at it for a few seconds with me, or turn to it for a few seconds, here the psalmist says, "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh my help." God is our help. Where does our help come from this morning? Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And here I'm almost back round to where I started in that particular verse 2 of Psalm 21. The psalmist's aid came from the Creator. And having such an aid, Having such an help, Jehovah is well able to uphold His people. Look at verse 4 of that psalm. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He that keepeth Israel, and people, we are the spiritual Israel. This is not merely a reference to the Israel of the Old Testament and of a bygone age. This is a reference which is right up to date this morning. It's a reference for you and I, because we are the spiritual Israel. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. It's good to know that whatever our problems in life are, that there's one that we can go to any time of the day, at any time of the night, no matter where, no matter what part of the world that we are living in, no matter even what culture we're living in. If we are God's redeemed people, we have one to whom we have access at all times. The one who keeps Israel, he neither slumbers nor does he sleep. I wonder to see here that our text says a very present help in trouble. A very present help. And I believe that this is bringing out again just what I'm after emphasizing. A very accessible help. One who is easy to be found. One who is who can be found in times of distress and in times of need. Sometimes, you know, as the people of God, we can be guilty whenever we have a problem. And we'll go, we'll run here and we'll run there and we'll go to our friends and relations before we come to the Lord. And maybe they can help us, and maybe they can't. But here we have one who can help us in all situations of life, and at all times, and in all circumstances. And this word here, of a very present help, it literally reads a very accessible help. And I believe here that the text is also bringing out here something of the omnipresence of God. Oh, by the omnipresence of God, what do I mean? I mean that God is everywhere at one and the same time. God is everywhere at one and the same time. Now, my puny mind cannot understand how that God is everywhere at one and the same time. And I'm not meant to understand it, but it's written and it's recorded in the Word of God, so therefore I believe it. God is everywhere at one and the same time. So therefore, He is a very accessible help. Therefore, He is a very present help in time of trouble and in time of distress. The word translated trouble in our text here, it is also translated in other scriptures as adversity, affliction, anguish, distress or tribulation. I want you to notice here in the second verse of this psalm that the psalmist then goes on to state that because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, and because God is our help, therefore, the little word therefore joins the two together, therefore, or because God is our refuge, our strength, and our help, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now there's something here I believe that we ought to consider. When the psalmist is saying here, therefore will not we fear, what he is actually meaning here, I believe, is that we will not fear to the extent that we are getting ourselves into such a state of despair. We will not fear to the extent that we get ourselves into such a state of despair and anguish and distress that we are uncontrollable and almost past ourselves with fright. Because really, all of us, we all have our fears, small or large, but we all have our fears. And when the psalmist says here, therefore will not we fear, he doesn't mean to say, I believe, he's not trying to say that we'll have absolutely no fear at all. But what he is saying is that we will not be beside ourselves with fear. We'll not be overcome with fear. We'll not allow our fears to pull us down and to walk over the top of us. And what he's saying here in the second verse then, because that God is our refuge, because that God is our strength and our help, we'll not fear. We'll not get into too much of turmoil. Even though the most cataclysmic events happen in the earth, because what can be more catastrophic than saying here than the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea? What can be more catastrophic than the earth shaking? What can be more catastrophic than the waters roaring and troubling and the mountains shaking and the earth shaking? No. The psalmist is saying here, because God is our refuge and our help and our strength, we'll not fear. We'll not fear. With this I close. I want you to very briefly look at verse 10. Because seeing God as our refuge, and seeing God as our strength, and seeing God as our help, we can take courage. We needn't be afraid. Look at verse 10. The psalmist says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." Instead of all of our fears, instead of all of our anxieties that will do nothing for us at all, the solution is to be still. Be still and know that I am God. God consoles His redeemed people because He is their refuge. He is their strength. And He is our help in the time of trouble. May the Lord bless what has been of Himself in this word this morning to each and to every heart. Just let us seek the Lord's face in a word of prayer as we bring this time to a close, please. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, indeed, that Thou art our refuge, that God is our refuge, our strength, and our help. And we thank Thee, Father, indeed, that Thy word is forever settled in heaven. And we bless Thee, Father, indeed, today that we have one who is omnipresent. We thank Thee, Father, indeed, today that we have one who is a very present help, who is easily accessible in our times of trial and in our times of need. And Lord, let us know that we are a needy people. Let us know, Lord, that we are constantly in need. And our Father, thus we come to seek Thy face. Now, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt take what has been of Thyself today in this word. Write it indelibly upon each and every heart. We pray, Father, that as we part and go our separate ways for this time, that Thou wilt go with us. Remember, Lord, the morning service that will soon commence in Thy will. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy servant. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt anoint him by Thy Spirit. And Lord, that each and every one who listens to Thy word today in this house, Lord, that they'll go away from this place knowing that it was good for them to be here, for it was here that they met with Thee. Remember, Lord, even those who will sit under Thy word who are unsaved. Do a work of grace in their hearts this day by Thy Spirit. Bring the backslider back to Thyself. And Lord, most of all, glorify Thine own name. And we'll be careful to give Thee the praise, the honour, and all the glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.